I enjoy reading a good book. My introduction to reading happened in the fifth grade when my teacher, Mr. Henderson, decided to read J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Hobbit, to the class. I was instantly captivated by the world Tolkien had created. I got my own copy of the book and finished it ahead of the class. I believe I finished the first book of The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship, at about the same time that the class finished The Hobbit. And since that time, I've enjoyed a steady diet of fantasy, science fiction, thriller, and espionage books. I've even read a little bit of horror, but found that it really wasn't to my liking. I recall reading Stephen King's book Misery in high school, I believe it was 10th grade, and reaching a point where I couldn't pick the book up for about 2 weeks because I was terrified of what was going to happen next, which should tell you something about King's ability to evoke emotion in his readers. Books can do that to us. Whether we are escaping into a fictional world that an author has created or reading a nonfiction account of world events, we are transported away, our minds are opened, and we are left richer for the experience. While my pleasure reading has slowed down over the past few years, it is still nice to curl up in a comfortable chair and to read a good book. And there is always a sense of disappointment when I get to the end of a particularly satisfying book. There's a desire for more, to learn more about the characters, or perhaps to go on another adventure with them. And I imagine that endings must be tricky for authors to write. There is a need to get things just right, to satisfy the reader, but also perhaps to leave things on a little bit of a cliffhanger. Every genre is different, but how a book ends matters. Now, there are some individuals who, before starting a new book, will read the final chapter or the last page. You probably know some of those people. They want to know how things end before they even begin. Now, I'm not one of those people, so I don't know what the motivation is behind that decision. But if I was to hazard a guess, which I suppose I'm going to do, I would say that perhaps they want to know if the journey of reading several hundred pages will be worth it. This morning, we heard read to us by Suzanne the final verses that are found in the Bible. Today, where's my Bible? Today, we got to the end of this book. Now, there's appendices and all sorts of stuff at the end, but as far as all of the different chapters and books of the Bible, we read the last verse of the last book in the Bible this morning. We got to the end. Now what, I suppose? Now, from Sunday to Sunday, of course, we don't read the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, do we? We like to jump around a little bit. We use what's called the Revised Common Lectionary to guide us through the church year, and we hear Bible passages that are appropriate for the church year. And at the end of every 3 years, if we read all 4 lectionary passages, and most week we only do 3 of them, but if we were to do 4 of them, by the end of a 3-year cycle, we will have read most, not all, but most of the Bible. But here we are. We're at the end. And it's an interesting ending, is it not? My guess is that many people have a sense or a feeling about how the Bible ends, but they may not have actually read the final verse of Revelation. mean, the Bible is, of course, an interesting book. It's Holy Scripture. However, it can also be considered from a literary view. Finally, the Bible itself is comprised of poetry, history, nonfiction, and personal correspondence. Many of these genres of writing are found in any number of the books which we find within the Bible. Revelation is a letter from John to seven churches in Asia Minor. That places it within the section of personal correspondence. However, within Revelation, we find poetry, visions, ancient hymns contained in that letter. When we think of the end of the Bible, I believe most people think of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. They recognize that there is a promise for Jesus to come again, but they don't read John's letter, which describes much of what we think about Christ's return. In short, most stop at the Gospels and perhaps don't go too much further. So how does Revelation end? Well, it ends by reminding us of everything that has come before it, from Genesis right through to Christ's death. We are reminded that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are granted access to the tree of life, which was barred from us in Genesis. And we are invited to drink from the water of life. And we are told that this is a free gift. That Jesus died on the cross for our sake, and that that was a free gift. We don't have to do anything other than to come forward and receive it. And in receiving it, we are forever changed and welcomed into the kingdom of God. And finally, we are told that Jesus is coming. John writes the words, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." In Greek, the word "amen" is pronounced "amen." And it means "truly," or "let it be so." Finally, John's final words in Revelation are a benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. John leaves his readers with a blessing from God, just as we finish worship each Sunday with a benediction. That is a final word from God for us. A blessing from God as we go on our way. John's benediction tells us that we are a community of believers, that we all trust in God, and that we follow in the way of Jesus Christ. In God we find our unity. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Christian unity is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ, in which we may participate." By drinking of the water of life, we are invited to participate in that Christian unity. We live together as a fellowship of Christ. We care for one another, and we care for the world in the way which Jesus demonstrated for us. In recent weeks, I have been thinking and praying about what it means to be a follower of Christ versus a Christian. And that may seem like a funny thing to say, especially coming from your minister. However, I wonder if sometimes we get so caught up in proper doctrine, creeds, and committees that we lose sight of something else. Now, don't get me wrong, the creeds and doctrines and confessions of the church are important. And some would argue that without those, you can't know what it means to be a Christian or be a follower of Christ. I suppose what I'm suggesting is that within our Christian unity, I am looking for something simpler. I'm interested in connecting with what Jesus was teaching and living. I'm curious about how those early Christians not only survived, but thrived in the face of mounting persecution. These past weeks, as we've considered the book of Revelation and its message for us, has put into focus the promise which we have in the kingdom of God, a kingdom which is both now and not yet, which is already happening and which is still to come. Studying Revelation these past weeks, being involved with soup kitchens, committees on homelessness, it makes me realize that there is still a great deal of work to be done. If we are a community of Christ, I wonder what type of a community Jesus is asking and calling us to be. Compassionate, caring, kind, loving and welcoming, accepting of all people. A guiding scripture for me in my life has always been that of the Good Samaritan, where it is actually the outsider who is providing the help that is required. A reminder that God's grace is active and at work in all places. But mostly, I am reminded that there is still work to do. I don't believe that we can or even must do all of it. But we are called to try, and that can be scary. Alan Cohen writes, "Scared and sacred are spelled with the same letters. Awful proceeds from the same root word as awesome, terrify and terrific. Every negative experience holds the seed of transformation." Some of the things we are called to be engaged in might be scary. But I believe we will discover something sacred in the experience. I believe that as a Christian community, we are called not necessarily to do bold and adventurous things, but to do small, simple acts every day. We aren't called to be the best at everything that we do, but we are called to be faithful in everything that we are involved with. So, is this the end? Well, it's the end of our time looking at Revelation, for now. Is it the end of the Bible? Yes, it's the last book in the Bible, but it's hardly the end. Rather, it is the start of a new beginning, a time of waiting, a time of working, a time for worship. The exciting part is that we live both in the time after Revelation and in the time before it, because the promise of the new creation has not yet happened. We are still working on behalf of the coming kingdom of God. And this is exciting because in partnership with God, we are writing the next chapter. We are part of the grand tapestry which God is weaving. Friends, we serve the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.